Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Good.
Good.
Ready and raring to go this week?
Let's do it.
And the weekend was longer than normal. We had a 4th of July holiday there. I was a little bit disappointed about some of the things we were doing on 4th of July.
Extra
rather than
fireworks.
Just celebrating liberty.
Yeah.
But I might mention that later on. But we want to talk about Iran again because it's been in the news, but it's all been canned news. And you talk about fake news. It's generally fake news because everything has happened in the Middle East and now even in Yemen, every place, the Iranians are at fault. They're 100% guilty. They're no angels, but there's a few other people that are guilty of some crimes as well. And we want to try to get this figured out and balanced. But, you know, the current events going on right now is a result of something that occurred during the Obama administration, the agreement of the JCPOA, the Joint Commission, that was set up with 6 or 7 countries. And the United States was in it. And then last year, Trump just gets out.
Yeah.
No way, I'm not going to do this. And he never liked it anyway. He said it was a bum deal for us. And yet some of us who are non-interventionists that even wouldn't be looking for treaties and things, if you have one that seems to be helping, and for me it was seen to be helping because we had more exposure of Iran. And the INEA said they're not working on a weapon. Our CIA agrees with that. So all of a sudden we say, no, we don't want any part of it. And subsequently there's been other events occurring. The two tankers were hit by minor explosions, and the Iranians did that, of course.
Yeah.
And then also the drone being shot down, and the Iranians said it was over their territory, and nobody's talking about it, so probably they're right.
Yeah.
But so it goes on and on. But this weekend, things got escalated because it had to do with the seizure of a ship with Iranian oil on it on its way to Syria, and that's a little bit more complicated, but the important thing is that ship had a lot of oil on it, and Iran is claiming retaliation, and they're not going to put up with this. So it's where are the lines going to be drawn? So even though all we hear on television is blame Iran for everything, but they're not dealing with what's going on and what the possibilities are and why there is so much tension, and it's not too difficult to figure out if you look at the sequence of events.
Yeah, and this is a big deal that hasn't been as reported, and we've been talking about it for a few days. You've been watching it closely, but maybe there was an extra dose of fireworks that was supposed to go off on the 4th, because on July 4th, the Grace 1 was detained by British Royal Marines near Gibraltar. It was chock full of Iranian oil. The UK claimed that it was going to Syria, which is under EU sanctions. You know, there's no such thing as sanctions in international law in that respect. However, it was a direct attack against Iran. They don't want Iran to sell a bit of oil. In Spain, you know, these are disputed waters because Spain claims these territorial waters around Gibraltar, and so does the UK. But the Spanish weren't taking it lying down either. Their response was interesting. Their acting foreign minister, Josep Borrell, said the U.S. demanded that the U.K. seize this ship. And, of course, the U.K. does the U.S.'s bidding like a good lapdog. So here the U.S. calls up U.K. and says, hey, you better seize this Iranian ship. They seize the ship. Iran says, oh, yeah? Well, then you guys it's going to be game in the Persian Gulf for us to seize a ship. And it looks like the British government is now saying, uh-oh, there's a problem with this.
Well, to me, it was such an irony that this occurred on the 4th of July while we're here in the United States supposedly celebrating liberty, which I had a few questions about that because to me it was looking like we were celebrating militarism, you know, military things going on. So I think that this whole thing, it's a bit ironic and doesn't fit into a foreign policy that at least that we're working for. But there's so many things that have gone on. But now, the big question is what will the Iranians do? You know, and the threat is that they're going to capture a ship. And now, of course, this one ship has already been diverted because they were afraid of what might happen of getting the ship with oil through the Straits of Hormuz.
And this is interesting because it's the British Heritage. That's the name of the ship. We even have a graphic. This is from Bloomberg that shows what happened. It's pretty amazing. If you see from the lower left hand, it was going up through the Persian Gulf. It made it almost to the Basra terminal in Iraq, and then all of a sudden it sat there. And I was actually watching this on Twitter, Dr. Paul, with a few people who monitor this. They were surprised that it was sitting there doing nothing. And then abruptly it made a U-turn, came back down, and is now sheltered near Saudi Arabia with no oil in its hull. It was going to bring that oil to Europe from Iraq. Sitting there empty, they say that the order has been canceled. It makes you wonder about insurance costs. What's going to happen? This is only a one-shot thing, but if this is the beginning of something bigger, it could be quite significant.
Yes, and of course there's this big issue of uranium enrichment because not only have they increased their supply of the uranium, they've increased the enrichment. It's up to 5%, but that is under the law, even their agreement, they're allowed to do this, and it has to do with peaceful use of their uranium, up to 5%. But I thought it was a little bit unnerving on how Netanyahu responded to this, because he said this was equivalent to the Nazis invading the Rhineland. and you know, I wonder how many tanks that Iran has that are about to invade a country. That's just preposterous. They're on the defense, and they know it, and nobody's on their side for sure. I think that this has been way blown out of proportion. I think our big concern, of course, are the unintended consequences. What's going to happen next already? I think that the reaction wasn't predictable about stopping this ship, in Gibraltar. And to say that this was, to argue, the police in Gibraltar called in the British Marines, and that's why they did it. And they took the orders from the city police. And you already mentioned that the real coordination came from United States authority, and it was our doing. We knew about it. And now there is already ramifications, because the next ship had to turn around. And there's going to be, another issue. It's going to either be accidental or on purpose or a false flag. And then we'll have to deal with it.
Well, one person who wasn't worried, who thought it was great, was John Bolton. And as soon as they seized this ship, he was tweeting like, man, this is fantastic. This is incredible. It does make you wonder, and not to give any excuses for the president, but if these neocons keep running into his office, hey, here's a new idea, let's try this, they won't do anything. They won't retaliate. It's no big deal. We're going to really put the screws on them. And all of these things seem to backfire. They always do with the neocons. But Bolton thought it was a great idea. Now, all of a sudden, probably doesn't seem like such a great idea, unless you're Bolton and Pompeo. Of course, they want a war. But this certainly is moving us closer to a war.
Yeah, and we talk about that so often, the contradictions that go on. But, one of our presidents once said the buck stops here.
Yeah.
And I think there should be more of that. Where does the buck stop? And this whole thing that you can, please both sides, be tough on one side, bomb the beach of Iran and say we're going to be tough. Will you cooperate with it? At the same time, how do we and help to appease the neocons here? Or at the same time, maybe Trump's instincts are what he says, 150 people killing for a little old dent in a ship. he says it's not worth it. It's not a fair trade.
Yeah, you bring up a good point, and that's I'd been following this and I wasn't quite sure about it, but Reuters reported, for what it's worth, today about what was been widely speculated, that the U.S. signaled through Oman to Iran, hey, we're going to hit something. After you took down this drone, we're going to hit something. We'll even let you name it, maybe an empty beach or anything, but we've got to retaliate. This is going to be an easy thing, we can save face. And Iran just said, we're not going to play the game. A senior Revolutionary Guard official said, we will consider any such attack as the beginning of a war. And I think that might suggest a little different reasoning than Trump coming out and saying, well, I didn't want to kill 100 people, because he's not been that concerned with the Saudis killing thousands in Yemen. So I think, there's a question, have the neocons misled him? Hey, just lob a couple bombs, we'll look good. And Iran said, we're not going to play this game.
Well, the propaganda term that they use and is sticking, it's something we should try our best to point out to the American people, and that is the U.S. broke the deal.
Yeah.
But all the blame on the Iranians, broke the deal.
Yeah.
And yet we know who did. Matter of fact, they admit it. They said it. And then after we break the deal, blame the Iranians for it, and then lecture them and bully them and start threaten them and say, well, you're not doing what we told you. So we're really going to put on sanctions. We're going to really hurt your people. And then the people will rise up and get rid of their leadership. And we've talked about that on the evidence is not very good to show that that's what happens ever, and that you bring people together and the bad guys in office that they're trying to get rid of are more solidly placed in power.
And I can see what our detractors, our ideological detractors, would be saying right now if they're watching this show. Oh, there they go again, defending Iran. The same thing they did when you were doing this on Iraq. But the fact is, what we're doing is debunking their lies, debunking U.S. lies. We're not defending Iran by any means. But the fact is that we did break the deal. If you pull out of an agreement, you don't get to, as you wrote today, you can't sit there and continue dictating the terms of the agreement. You know, in terms, as far as the Iranian enriching to a higher level to that, was it 5%? You know, as you pointed out, for their reactor, they've said that this is reversible. We will reverse this. We need to have some talks, but we need to have some sanctions relief first, not more sanctions. And, Pompeo, he had a tweet yesterday. He was furious. How dare they start enriching to a higher level? I tweeted underneath it, you kind of had an agreement in place that would keep them from doing that. How could you not think that getting rid of that agreement wouldn't have them start doing it again?
You know, where are the journalists? Why don't we have at least one journalist someplace on one of the major networks that when they hear all this propaganda, why couldn't they just ask an objective question, about why are they getting away with this? Why do they say that? And then putting the blame on Iran. But nobody even asked the question, about why is it that you think you can dictate the terms when you're not even in the treaty? you walk away from it. But nobody ever asked that question because it's just blinders on there. And I can understand that, the super patriotism and all this, and it works on the emotions, but it's also very, very dangerous. That's how they got the hype going for the Iraq War, with super patriotism and defending the Constitution and liberty, and then it fails and thousands dies and trillions of dollars spent. And then they turn around and the people still go along with it. But if you do a poll, are you happy with your government? Do you believe everything your government tells? Oh, no, we don't believe anything. I tell them. But they just roll over and they go along with it. They don't object to it. But it's constant. And that is really the power of the deep state. And the deep state, obviously, is very much in charge of the media. And that's where our problems is. And they certainly have control of all the big shots in Washington, despite all the partisan things going on. You don't hear a fight going on between right and left and Democrats and Republicans. What are you doing? Why don't you just get out of Syria? And why don't you just come home? You don't have that. Basically, they vote when they need the money. They get the money, and both sides agree to spend all the money. And Trump is so bold. He says it's good for jobs. And if he can say it, then you can imagine that's what the members of Congress always think. No matter how liberal progressive they are, even Bernie Sanders was not willing to vote against military spending in his state.
Yeah.
So they all go along because they're hinged onto the dollar. And it isn't so much, well, ultimately, a lot of them get to put something in their pocket with a good job afterwards. But most of the time, it's just power and prestige of being important in Washington. And they go along with it. And they never ask any questions.
Yeah, that's true. Any good points on the mainstream media? They act like their feelings are so hurt because you know, upstarts like us and like a lot of the alternative media, I would call it the real media, challenges their narrative, but they're playing the exact same role they played with the Iraq War, just completely repeating the administration's claims, the neocon claims. They haven't learned anything, so they can't take the fact that people are lining up to question them. Well, the seizure of the ship, the Iranian ship, the ship filled with Iranian oil, was said, we had to seize it because this oil was going to Syria, and the EU still has sanctions on Syria. Let me stop for a second and think about that. What does that mean? Why is the EU sanctioning Syria? The Syrian government has defeated the West-backed, Saudi-backed, Israeli-backed ISIS extremists, Al-Qaeda. They're trying to rebuild their country. They're rebuilding the cities. Why are they being denied oil? Is it hurting anyone other than the civilians, the citizens, the people trying to put gasoline in their car? You know, this is the real evil of sanctions. This is the how monstrous sanctions are. You can't even let this country, after how many years of nightmare, even start to recover. And it really is sick, and it's sickening. I want to also do a shout out to students, upper division undergrads and grad students. The Ron Paul Institute has a program for you. It's coming up quickly. You've got to get your application in right away. Go to ronpaulinstitute.org. You'll see a little thing on the upper toward the upper right hand. Students apply for the Ron Paul Scholars Seminar. It's going to be a great day on August 23rd in Washington, D.C., just for the upper division and grad students. We're going to talk about non-intervention, foreign policy, the history of the national security state. We've got great speakers lined up. It's going to be a terrific day, and we're looking forward to having you a part of it. So put in your application today. Easy application. Put it in today, and hopefully we'll see you on the 23rd.
Good. You know, when these sanctions were put on, they used the principle of waivers, and we, the United States, gave waivers to certain countries in Europe where they could still get oil from Iran. But then that wasn't enough. We had to do more, so we put stronger and remove those waivers. But there is one waiver in Syria that is in existence, and it's part of the policy. It's part of the military-industrial complex. No, you can't send them oil. You can't send them products that might help the consumers. We have to punish the consumers. And where are there no waivers? Where are they able to spend and trade? It's on weapons. We can send the weapons in, and we send them in. The West sends the weapons in, and guess what? They're still getting into the hands of Al-Qaeda. Yes, things are a lot better there, but especially during this time of sanctions in the last several years, I'm sure still going on, the weapons can still go in. So here we are, sending in the weapons and giving it to people who we are supposedly fighting all the time, the Al-Qaeda. They end up with the weapons in order to have regime change and get rid of Assad. So I think in the hearts of many, especially a Pompeo and a Bolton, they're still with Obama. Assad has to go, and they're not going to give up until it happens, and that's where our problem is. And the big thing is people believe that they're capable of picking the good guys over the bad guys, but that usually involves economic benefits and benefits for one side over the other. It has nothing to do with justice. They just go on with this. So I think that what we need to do is just get out of there and not punish the people, get rid of the sanctions, give some waivers if temporarily, so that the Europeans really want to trade with Iran, but they're wimps too. They won't stand up to the United States because we have power. And you know, the one thing on that ship, I don't know if we mentioned that, they also call in NATO. They involve NATO in this, and yet all we do, and rightfully so at times, badmouth NATO. We want to pay more, but we want to dictate and own NATO, so we get sanctions, we get cover from NATO. You know, it's such a wonderful thing to think about a foreign policy where you work hard to try to be friends and trade with people and try to neutralize events in order to prevent wars from occurring. Yet we live in an age where we are obsessed with it, and unfortunately, the people like Pompeo and Bolton seem to have the upper hand, and that it means that the sorting out has to come. Where does the deep state fit in? Fit in between the Pompeos and the Boltons versus the president and the people, because ultimately it looks like the people have been left out and the American taxpayers being left out, and our civil liberties are being undermined constantly because of these conditions. So it's easy for me to argue with determination that what we should have in this country is a non-interventionist foreign policy, mind our own business, but don't give up on defending this country. Matter of fact, I think if you really want to defend this country, what you will do is you would get away from all this globalism and selling out and just defend this country if anybody attacks us. Nobody's going to attack us. I remember when there was a tank boat coming up. I think it was in the 70s or something, and we had to because of the Soviets. And my instincts were, where's the tank attack going to come? Is it going to come through Alaska? Are they going to come in that way to attack America? But that wasn't the point. We had to invade countries to use tanks and all the airplanes and use World War II airplanes right now, build airplanes that don't work like the F-35. So it's time we change, but it will change because we're broke and we can't afford this, and the middle class is getting wiped out here, and guess who's taking advantage of that? The ultra-left, the progressives, the cultural Marxists, because there is a distortion of wealth distribution here, and they're using it to undermine capitalism, as if we have capitalism. We have corporatism and special interests and inflationism and deficit financing, and then they label that capitalism. So we have a lot of work to do, but believe me, there is a need for it, and I think there's going to be a wonderful opportunity to present our case, because certainly what is happening right now, and there are some that think that, well, we need more socialism. We need to be more like Venezuela. Oh, sure. Wonderful. We need to think more about what is liberty all about. Then we should devise our domestic policies, our foreign policy, and our monetary policy, all under those issues and ideas. So for us here at the report, we want to make sure that people know that it's not a doom cause for us. There's certainly ideas have consequences, and I believe that's what Daniel's been working so hard on and having our conferences and promoting this, because it's the ideas behind the non-interventionist foreign policy, and that we can present the case. And the wonderful thing is when it's presented, young people as well as any age, when they present us, oh, I didn't know that. I thought free enterprise is what we had. No, when they know what it is, believe me, we gain a lot of supporters, and we appreciate all your help and support in that effort. Thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.